Good to see everybody here today. We're starting to get our travelers back. We had about, I think we had 18 or 19 down at Lubbock last week, and we know that y'all had a good time and a good leadership conference down there, but we're glad to have y'all back worshiping with us today. Good to have all of our visitors with us as well, and it's good to have those of you who have not been feeling good and are back, and just a number that we have back today that we haven't seen in a while for various reasons. It's just really good to see each one of y'all. I want to talk about something that I think is of a critical part of our lives that we really need to look at from time to time. And in fact, we do look at it from time to time, but if you have your Bibles and would like to turn over, we're going to start in Luke chapter 13. Now, I just want to point out this lesson that we're looking at today really does call upon us for some thought and also some sacrifice if we are going to do the things that God has for us in the way that He wants us to do it. In Luke 13, chapter 6, it says this. Jesus is the one that we're focusing on here. He told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Very short parable, but I believe a very powerful message, and one that we really need to consider from time to time. The setting is very simple to see. There is a man who has fig trees, and he's got a man working for him, and there's one particular tree that he comes back and he looks at. For 3 years it hasn't been bearing fruit, and it's of age to be bearing fruit. And so when he finds out it's not bearing fruit, he tells the one who's tending it to cut it down. But the man who's tending it says, "Well, let's just give it one more year." And so that was the agreement. Fine, we'll dig around it, we'll fertilize it, we'll come back next year, and if it bears fruit, that's fine. But if it doesn't, cut it down. Well, of course, the parable isn't told because Jesus is interested in figs or fig trees. The parable is told because God and Jesus are interested in our souls. And they're interested in what we do here because we are put here to serve them. And in that service, we need to be bearing fruit. Now, I will say this. It's not up to you and to I to be determining the quality of the fruit that we're bearing. God will be the quality inspector. But it is very much up to us to be doing those things in God's way that we can rightfully expect to be bearing fruit for God. And the question that I have thought about for a number of times through the years is this. Am I in my fourth year? I think every one of us needs to stop and think about that from time to time. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing, or is God looking at my fruit and finding it insufficient? And is He about to take me out of this world and out of His service? Now, this week I even thought about it more carefully than normal. Monday was a normal day for me. Went out and was mowing a lawn across the alley, as a matter of fact, and wasn't that tall of a lawn, but I had pulled a couple of 12-foot panels away from a fence where weeds grow, and I was busily weed-eating it, and as I looked down beyond, or right in the spot where I had just weed-eated, and between my feet was a rattlesnake. And the rattlesnake was 2.5 feet long. And if you wonder how I know the rattlesnake was 2.5 feet long, it's because I won, and he didn't. And to the victor goes the measurement. And so after I had chopped his head off and his tail off, because this is the first, I've killed 4 rattlesnakes this year, but the first 4 may or may not have had a button, and it really isn't that great, you know, to go show the farmers the rattlesnake trophies that you have when they're just a little button. So anyway, this one I kept, but the head was about 4 or 5 inches, and the tail was about 2 inches. But the body, I know for a fact, was 2 feet 1 inch because I stretched it out and measured it after it stopped doing the things that it does afterwards. But my point is this. There are things that happen or could happen that make us step back sometimes and think, you know, that could have gone bad. I don't know if the weed eater disoriented the snake, if he was tired, or if God was watching over me, or a combination of the three. But it is something that has made me think a lot, and to think about what I'm doing here. And I think that each one of us need to stop and step back on occasion and really seriously consider, am I doing that which God put me here for in the first place? And if the answer is, I don't know, or I'm pretty sure it's not, then the next question is, what will we do about it? And even if we think we're doing pretty good, and hopefully we are doing pretty good, we should have a determination to make sure that we are continuing on that same path. Now, later on in the week, Carolyn and I have been filling our nights up regularly, and so we hadn't been able to go on our normal walk in the evening. Finally, on Friday evening, we got to go for a walk, and there are some goats out here. I don't know if y'all have noticed them. There's a big old herd of goats out there, and those goats have made me a liar every time I go past them, it seems like. A few years ago, when they first started getting them, 3 of these goats followed us around on our walk, and so I came up with the great idea, well, we'll just put them over here in the corrals over at the rodeo arena, and they'll be fine. And so we walked into the corrals at the rodeo arena and shut the gate behind us, and the front gate was shut. And there, the horses, for some reason, weren't in their pens. They were loose. And so Carolyn said, won't the horses get to him? And I said, nah, they won't mess with him. And so we left him, and we crawled through the fences, and the horses went wild. I mean, they went absolutely wild. They were running after him, nipping him, trying to get him with their hooves. So I had to go in there and rescue 3 goats that I did not like in the first place, while one of these horses is rearing up in the air and flashing his hooves at this stupid preacher who's going after these goats that he knows nothing about, and rescue these goats. And so these goats finally get them out. They follow us into town. We come in these front doors because we don't want them at our house. And Carolyn says, won't they hit the windows? And I said, no, they won't hit the windows. And I didn't any sooner have those words out my mouth than crash, crash, where they're hitting the windows. So we went back out the front door, and we came in the side door, and we left the goats to their own devices. Well, unfortunately, they lived. They showed up at the school, and they got them back. And I don't know if this is one of those goats or one of their descendants, but there was a goat that had its head stuck in the fence on Friday. It had gotten through a little, maybe a 6-inch by 4-inch square, and it was a double fence with a barbed wire right at the bottom of it. And that goat was just screaming. And Carolyn said, shouldn't we do something about that? And I said, nah, the owners will take care of it. And what I was really thinking is, I've already been around enough rattlesnakes lately, and I'm not going into this weedy field to go take care of a goat that stuck his own head through the fence. So anyway, we went, we knocked on their door. They weren't home, but we just left it. And then last night, we're on our walk, and there's this goat with his head still stuck through the fence, because apparently the people are out of town. And so I climbed over the fence after calling the goat dogs. I don't know what they are, but they got 2 big old dogs that watch them. And I called them over, patted them, made sure that they weren't going to kill me when I climbed the fence. So I climbed the fence, went in, and spent I don't know how long trying to get that goat's head through those panels of fence. Finally did. Got barbed wire cuts and everything. Finally got it through. And I turn around, and there's this billy goat standing there looking at me. And I'm not happy at this point. And so I said something, nothing derogatory. I just told him what I would do to him if he made a step towards me. And I don't think goats speak English, but goats can read intent. And that goat backed off, and he went on his own merry way, and I climbed the fence and got out. And as we're walking back, that goat is trying to stick his head back through the fence again. But that's been my week, and my week has been one of thinking of my own mortality. And again, I want to say, I think it's important, whether we have things like that are happening or not, to step back and think about what we're doing here and whether or not we really are performing the function of which God put us here for. Are we serving God in the way that He wants us to? And if we're not, what are we going to do about that? There's an example I've used a number of times here, I know, before, but it's one of the best I can think of from a priority standpoint. And it's that example of that time consultant that was brought in to a corporation. He went from corporation to corporation doing a presentation. And his presentation he was giving one day, and it was essentially this. He brought a big, I don't know, a couple gallon clear pickle jar, glass pickle jar, and a bucket of rocks. And he would put these big old rocks in that pickle jar and kind of shake it a little bit. And finally he'd get that pickle jar just to the top with these big rocks. And he asked the question, is it full? And people said, yeah, it's full. And then he pulls out from under the podium a little pail of gravel. He pours that gravel in, shakes it around. He says, is it full? And they say, yeah, it's full now. He pulls out a little sack of sand, and he pours that in there. And he shakes it in there. Is it full? Well, some of them say, I don't know. It looks full, but you fooled us three times, so we don't know. He pulls out a pitcher of water and pours it in until it overflows. Is it full? And the answer is, yeah, it's full now. And he said, what's the lesson? And one of the people thought the lesson was this. No matter how full our schedules are, we can still pack something into it. And he said, no, that's not the lesson. He said, the lesson is, if you're going to put big rocks in, you have to put them in first. Otherwise, you'll never get them in. Now, think about the water and the sand and the gravel in your life and what that is. The water may be the things you do to relax. And it's important. You need to have some relaxation in your life. But it may be watching something good on television or watching a good movie or reading a good book. Whatever it is you do, if you are putting it in the right priority, then you get to do that. And the sand may be something more along the lines of the things you have to do. To change your oil, you have to mow your lawn, you have to do the laundry. There's a lot of things that we have to do, but they're not life and death matters. And then there's the gravel. And the gravel might surprise people, because people might think that would be something more along the lines of the laundry and things like that. But the gravel is really your job and school. And the things that you do with your family that are just kind of family things. They're important, they're critical, but they're still not the big rocks. What are the big rocks? And the big rocks, in my opinion, I would say are your souls. Your soul, if you're married, your spouse's soul. If you have children, your children's soul. Your family's souls, your friends' souls, anyone who's in your circle of influence. Those are the big rocks. And I think that everybody, after they think about that, they would agree that, yeah, that's right. Everybody that is of a spiritual mind, I think, would have to agree that that's right, that the big rocks are the spiritual things. And that, of course, includes our service to God and all those other things that we mentioned that we do on a daily basis that become part of our service to God. But isn't it true, as we go through life, that somehow we get that mixed up? We take that big old pickle jar that is our life, if we can use that crude of an example, and we fill it full of water because, boy, we got to relax. Or we fill it with sand. We fill it with all the fires that we have, the fires that have to be put out every day. I got to change the oil. I got to mow the lawn. I got to do the laundry. I think everybody that has a sense of responsibility understands that you have to go to school and you have to study for school. You have to go to work. You have to make a living. There's a lot of things that we have to do, but for many people, especially if they are physically minded, to them, that's the big rocks. That's the most important thing. And if we ever get to the point where our jobs and even our family, just the physical part of it, or our school or the activities that we have become the most important things, we're in danger of being in our fourth year and not producing fruit? And what will you do if God demands your life at that time and he finds you at a time where you are pursuing the physical rather than the spiritual? Because as we go through life, one of the great secrets, it's not a secret, but it is to most people, is this. You can take care of the big rocks first and have an incredible life. You can have a great job, you can do well in school, you can have great time with all the intramural things that we do at school, you can have a great property and take care of that, you can even have fun vacations and relax in a very pleasing way. But if you don't take care of the big rocks first, that's not going to happen. I've got about 6 minutes left, and I'm not through yet, but I do want to mention this for next week. Next week, I want to talk about the bare minimums, and not from the standpoint that I have in the past, but next week, I want to talk about, seriously to you, about the very bare minimum that God expects of me and of you when it comes to our service to him. And I hope that you can be here for that, and I hope that you'll consider it prayerfully and by looking at the scripture, because I think that we have lost sight of the least we can do for God because we've spent too much time trying to figure out what the least we can do for God is. And if we can get that back in sight, maybe it will help us to build on that foundation and mature. Matthew chapter 6 verse 25 says this, talking about this very idea of priority. Jesus says, I tell you, therefore, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Notice that term, little faith. He goes on to say, so don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And then he gets to the heart of the matter. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the priority that Jesus wants us to have. He says, don't worry about the physical things. He doesn't tell you that you're not going to have to do something about the physical things. And when he says your heavenly Father sees that you need him and he'll provide him, he's not saying that he'll give him, just hand him to you. One of the best illustrations I heard of that was, God feeds the birds of the air, but he doesn't throw the worms into their nest. And so what God is going to do is he's going to give you the opportunity to work and to do all these things that we have to do to get by physically. And this physical life is part of the test. It's part of the spiritual test. Will you put the little rocks, the gravel, the sand, the water first, or are you going to put the big things first? Your soul, your duty to God, your duty to others and helping them. That's what we need to, I'm convinced, be thinking about more and more. Not just when we see a snake between our feet and have to think seriously for a few minutes before we go about the rest of our day. This is something that we need to be thinking about on a regular basis. Am I doing what I was put here for in the first place? Now, we can always do better, but that's not the question. Are we at least attempting to do our best? There's a passage in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, that really has caused me a lot of thought and perhaps angst through the years as well. But it says this, Jeremiah 8:20, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. The summer is past, The harvest is ended and we are not saved. What would you think of a man who made his living as a farmer, who had his field was ready for the harvest, and he had his own harvesting equipment right there? And in addition to that, he had a weather forecast, and we know that they can be wrong sometimes, but the weather forecast was just perfect. There was not going to be any rain. It was going to be sunny days. The wind was going to be down a whole week. But after that week, there was a hurricane brewing in the Gulf that was going to threaten the crops. But he had a full week to handle his harvest. What do you think that farmer would do? What would you think of that farmer if on the first day of that week thought, you know, I have really worked hard getting this crop up. I'm going to have to relax first. And so I'm just going to kick back and I'm just going to take a day for myself before I start the harvest. And so he takes that day, and then the next day comes up and his dog gets sick and he thinks, well, I got to take my dog to the vet. And so he takes his dog to the vet and he gets him taken care of. And then the next day comes up and his son comes up and he said, do you remember the camping trip that we were going to be taking? Well, it's now. And so he said, well, I got to take care of my family. And so he goes on the camping trip, and the long and short of it is he gets back to the rain and he misses the harvest. He was doing something that's appropriate at the right time. He was relaxing. He was doing something that was appropriate at the right time. He was taking care of his physical things. He was doing something that was appropriate at the right time. He was taking time for his family. But he missed the big rock of the harvest. And because he missed the big rock of the harvest, he missed what he was there for in the first place. From the physical standpoint, he was a farmer. You and I are here to sow the seeds of the kingdom. We're here to water the seeds of the kingdom. We're here to cultivate soil so that others can sow and water. We're here to try and make sure that we're doing God's things first. And if we do those things, then I believe we have a great comfort in the fact that whether this is our fourth year or not, we're doing what we're supposed to. But let me ask you this, for those of you who are concerned about the length of your life. If you have an employee that's goofing off and you're thinking about letting them go, and then all of a sudden they start working really hard and they start being productive for your company, are you going to let them go? If it's at all possible to keep them, and the answer is no. And if you didn't let them go when they weren't productive, you're sure not going to let them go now that they are productive. If you and I can get productive for God, and by that I mean studying His Word and praying and encouraging the saints and encouraging others to become Christians, you're going to do pretty good with your life. But if you forget what your life is for, if you forget that you're here to produce fruit, if we concentrate on the water and the sand and the gravel of life instead of the big rocks, we might wake up one day to find out that it's the last day of the fourth year. And then what will we do? Invitation's open. If you're ready to become a Christian today, we'd love to help you with that. If you need the prayers of the congregation or if we can help you in any other way, won't you come while we stand and sing?